Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1. The Activities of Maharaj Priyavrata. Text 9. Translation. Lord Brahma, the father of Narada Muni, is the supreme person within this universe. As soon as Narada saw the great swan, he could understand that Lord Brahma had arrived. Therefore, he immediately stood up, along with Svayambhuva Manu and his son Priyavrata, whom Narada was instructing. Then they folded their hands and began to worship Lord Brahma with great respect. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the previous verse, Lord Brahma was accompanied by other demigods, but his specific carrier was the great swan. Therefore, as soon as Narada Muni saw the swan, he could understand that his father, Lord Brahma, who is also known as Hiranyagarbha, was arriving. Thus he immediately stood up with Svayambhuva Manu and his son Priyavrata to receive Lord Brahma and offer him respect. The next verse is sort of a continuation of text 9, so we'll read text 10. Bhagavan api bharata tud upanat tar hana shukta vakena tatiram Udita guna gunavatara sayuja priyavratam adi purushastam sadaya hasavaloka iti hovacha. Translation. My dear King Parikshit, because Lord Brahma had finally descended from Satyaloka to Bhu Loka, Narada Muni, Prince Priyavrata and Svayambhuva Manu came forward to offer him objects of worship and to praise him in highly qualified language, according to Vedic etiquette. At that time, Lord Brahma, the original person of this universe, felt compassion for Priyavrata and, looking upon him with a smiling face, spoke to him as follows. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. That Lord Brahma descended from Satyaloka to see Priyavrata indicated that the matter was very serious. Narada Muni had come to advise Priyavrata about the value of spiritual life, knowledge, renunciation, and bhakti. And Lord Brahma knew that Narada's instructions were very impressive. Therefore, unless Lord Brahma personally went to Gandhamadana Hill to request Priyavrata, Lord Brahma knew that Prince Priyavrata would not accept his father's order. Brahma's purpose was to break Priyavrata's determination. Therefore, Brahma first looked upon Priyavrata with compassion. His smile and compassionate features also indicated that although Brahma would request Priyavrata to accept household life, Priyavrata would not be out of touch with devotional service. By the blessings of a Vaishnav, everything is possible. This is described in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu as Kripa Siddhi, or perfection attained simply by the blessings of a superior person. One usually becomes liberated and perfect by executing the regulative principles set down in the Shastras. Nonetheless, many persons have achieved perfection simply by the blessings of a spiritual master or superior. Priyavrata was the grandson of Lord Brahma, and as joking competition sometimes takes place between grandson and grandfather. In this case also, Priyavrata was determined to remain in meditation, whereas Brahma was determined that he rule the universe. Thus, Lord Brahma's affectionate smile and glance meant, "My dear Priyavrata, you have decided not to accept household life, but I have decided to convince you that you must accept it." Actually, Brahma had come to praise Priyavrata for his high standard of renunciation, austerity, penance, and devotion, so that he would not be deviated from devotional service, even though he would accept household life. In this verse, one important word is sukta vakena by Vedic hymns. In the Vedas, there is the following prayer to Lord Brahma: Hiranyagarbha samavatargate bhutasya jata patir eka asit. Brahma was received with the appropriate Vedic hymns, and because he was welcomed according to the Vedic etiquette, he was very pleased. So, sometimes we may have a delicate situation in the temple with a particular devotee who doesn't want to do what he's asked, and we may appeal to a superior to come and convince him. Here the case was a little more delicate because Swayambhuva Manu was the father and a natural authority for Priyavrata, and he wanted him to rule the kingdom so that Swayambhuva Manu could be freed from the responsibility of rulership to engage in devotional service, because the time in his life had come to give up the service of ruling and take to devotional service. But Narada Muni, who was also an authority, had instructed Priyavrata not to become entangled in household life, but rather to engage himself fully in devotional service. Now, because Lord Brahma is the creator of the universe and the demigod responsible for the entire universe, and because he was the father of both Swayambhuva Manu and Narada, and because the rule of the universe was at stake here, he personally came all the way from Satyaloka. Even though Swayambhuva Manu and Narada Muni had a difference of opinion here, still, they were united in their respect for and obedience to Lord Brahma, because he was their father, the creator of the universe, and the original spiritual master. And for Priyavrata, he was the grandfather and grand spiritual master. And so naturally, Priyavrata also offered respect to Lord Brahma. And because they did offer respect in highly qualified language with the appropriate Vedic hymns, according to the proper etiquette, Lord Brahma was pleased. In the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we also find that when Shukadev Goswami arrived at the banks of the Ganges, ultimately to instruct Maharaj Parikshit, he was offered respectful obeisances. And therefore he was pleased to reply to King Parikshit's questions and to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that when someone, you know, bows his head to the floor in obeisances to the person of knowledge, the person of knowledge becomes compassionate and inclined to speak the Vedic knowledge to such a person who has offered obeisances. So the etiquette is there to regulate our activities, but the etiquette also is not meant to be simply formal or official, but there's actually meant to be heartfelt exchange. Of course, in the beginning of the Krishna consciousness movement in the West, Gargamuni Prabhu told Srila Prabhupada that he didn't feel like bowing down when the other devotees were bowing down. And Srila Prabhupada said, still you should bow down, and the feeling will follow. But generally, conditioned souls don't like to bow down. There was one young man who sort of explained his position to Srila Prabhupada after Srila Prabhupada had given a lecture, also relatively early in the history of the movement, probably in 1968. And he told Srila Prabhupada that, you know, he feels that spiritually we're all equal, we're all the same, and he doesn't feel that he should have to bow down to anyone. So Srila Prabhupada replied that you may not like to bow down, but you're forced to bow down. He said, you go to work, you have a boss, so in a way you have to bow down to the boss. So the young man said, well, that's material, but spiritually I don't feel I should have to bow down to anyone because spiritually we're all the same. And then Srila Prabhupada said, well, you may not like to bow down, but you're forced to bow down. The question is where to bow down so that you'll become happy. You can either bow down to Krishna or Krishna's representative, or you'll be forced to bow down by Maya. You'll be forced to bow down to repeated birth, disease, old age, and death. So you cannot choose not to bow down. You can only choose where to bow down. And either you bow down voluntarily to Krishna and Krishna's representative, or you'll be forced to bow down to the repetition of birth, death, old age, and disease. So we resist bowing down, as took place in that exchange, when the young man said, "I don't like to bow down," Srila Prabhupada said, "You have diagnosed your own disease." So that is our disease. We don't like to bow down. But of course, sometimes we bow down and we don't have a good experience from it. Like some devotees have expressed, you know, they've been submissive to authorities and then they feel their authorities have cheated them or their authorities have misled them. But given that fact, you still have to bow down. And it's still the same question, where are you going to bow down so that you can be happy? Srila Prabhupada had a disciple named Pustakrishna Prabhu. Has a disciple. And Pustakrishna Prabhu, he also was suspicious of the authorities or apprehensive of the authorities. So he told Srila Prabhupada that that I can trust you, but I can't trust anyone else. I can't trust your representatives. I know you won't cheat me, but they might. So I can surrender to you, but that's all. And Srila Prabhupada replied, "Don't surrender to me either. I will also cheat you. Just surrender to Krishna." And when Pustakrishna Prabhu heard Srila Prabhupada's answer, and he was relatively new, he felt, you know, this is a spiritual master. This is a genuine spiritual master. He's not saying bow down to me, he's saying bow down to Krishna. Not saying surrender to me, he's saying surrender to Krishna. Then the bowing down brings the desired result. In other words, the representative of Krishna should be transparent. He should not want anything for himself or take anything for himself, but he really should be transparent. And whatever surrender we offer to him should actually go to Krishna. Whatever service we offer to him should go to Krishna. And then that bowing down is perfect. So here, the situation was a little complicated because Brahma, Manu, and Narada are all representatives of Krishna. They're all Mahajans. And what was Priyavrata to do, being instructed by three representatives of Krishna, three authorities? So that is his dilemma, and we will read about how he dealt with the dilemma in the verses to come. But just to give you a little hint, Srila Prabhupada says that the disciple should be intelligent enough to be able to follow the apparently conflicting instructions of authorized authorities. One should be intelligent enough to follow the instruction of the spiritual master and the grand spiritual master, for example. And as we see, and as indicated here, or hinted here, all three of the authorities wanted the best for Priyavrata. They all wanted him to be Krishna conscious. The difference was whether he should render service in a renounced order or in a managerial capacity. And because it is true that management can divert one from the pure practice of hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna, Swayambhu Vamanu wanted to be relieved of those managerial responsibilities so he could detach himself from the affairs of state and dedicate himself wholly and solely to the service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness. Priyavrata wanted to avoid that entanglement and proceed directly to direct meditation on the Lord without any distractions. But the situation was such that Lord Brahma, he could have the broadest vision because he's, you know, the creator of the universe, he's responsible for the universe, and he's was the father or grandfather of all the parties involved. He could see that it was more proper for Priyavrata, who was young, to take charge of the management and relieve Manu, who was had already done his duty for long enough, and allow Manu to fulfill his desire to engage in direct meditation on the Lord. But at the same time, by the blessings of Lord Brahma, Priyavrata, even in the position of management, even in Grihastha Ashram, was able to achieve perfection in the end. And Srila Prabhupada explains that that is possible by the mercy of a spiritual master or a superior authority. Because he took up the service not because he wanted to be a big leader or a big controller. He took up the service for only one reason, that he was requested to by his superiors. And therefore, his superiors were pleased with him and they blessed him, that even though he was involved in the management of the universe and even though he was involved in household life, in the end he did achieve perfection as if he would have remained celibate and engaged in exclusive devotion and meditation on the Lord. So again, we come back to the principle of service to the spiritual master, that service to the spiritual master is the highest principle. And by the blessings of the spiritual master and Krishna, one can achieve all perfection. Hare Krishna.